Come, Holy Spirit, move among us and enter our hearts and clear our minds and open our ears so that we can hear the word that you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the scripture I'm going to be referencing today is 2 Corinthians. It's portions of chapter 4 and 5. And I'm going to read it throughout the sermon just to help us pinpoint what I'm trying to talk about. But before I do that, there's something I need to tell all of you. It's a little bit of a confession that I have to make. This is, as you know, some of you know, next week will be my last Sunday, but this is my last Sunday to preach. So I felt like on this day, it would be a good day to make this confession. Because there's a portion of my job that I've been doing here that I really do not like at all. Okay? It's titling sermons. I'm bad at it. I'm really, really bad at it. What we do is we pick out scripture months in advance. And then we will think about titles for that, sometimes even look for sermon series that we can do. And so titles come from that. But then it just sits there. And then the Monday comes before I'm supposed to preach. And I go back to the scripture and I look at it and I pray over it and I study it and I look at that sermon that I titled. And sometimes I think, what was I thinking? I don't know anything. This does not seem to add up to me. But I try. I try really hard to make sure that the sermon is something around the title. But I don't always succeed. And so if any of you pay attention to titles of the sermons, I might preach, and then when I get done, you might say, what did that title have to do with that sermon? Well, I'll tell you, nothing. Because I did that long time ago, and I can't remember, and I have to apologize. I'm bearing my soul. I'm apologizing to all of you that I may have been confusing, that may have thought that I missed something from the sermon. You did not. I'm just really bad at titling sermons, so I'm sorry for that. Other times, it works out. And when I study the scripture and I meditate on it, the sermon comes together around that title, or the title makes sense at that point. Today is one of those days. So if you notice the title, Walking by Faith, I hope that when I get done today, the two will line up. It'll make sense to you. And if it doesn't, I will still apologize. But I tried hard this time, and I felt like it kind of lined up a little bit better. And so since this is my last Sunday before I head off, or this last Sunday to preach before I go and preach at Lawrenceville Road, we're going to be talking about walking by faith. And the whole process that I've gone through here at Kingswood has been a testimony of walking by faith. Because as you all know, I've been here for a while, almost 20 years. And long before I went to seminary, I felt the stirring, kind of a calling from God, that there was more that God wanted from me, but I couldn't figure it out. So I spent lots of months searching, just trying to figure this out. And finally, at a point of frustration, I prayed a very, very dangerous prayer. It's not one that I recommend unless you are completely serious about it. But the prayer that I prayed was, Lord, I don't know where you want me, what it is you want me to do, but if you open the doors, I'll walk through them. Just open the doors. That way I'll know what I'm supposed to do, because I don't know. I'm confused. And that led to some seemingly very, very strange things that I started doing, like becoming the director of sports and fitness here at the church. Some of you know I'm not a great fan of sports. I don't understand a lot that's going on. I know that most of them have a ball, but I don't always know what they're supposed to be doing with the ball. So luckily there were people who could tell me what to do, but I was the director of sports and fitness and didn't know anything about sports at the time. I knew nothing about fitness either. But that's where it was. I just thought that God had a really strange sense of humor. But as it turns out, that was a door that opened for me. And what it led me was that I really love being in ministry. I love connecting with the people. Yeah, they're playing this game thing over here. I think it's called basketball or soccer or whatever. But I get to connect with the people. And that's the part that I loved. And so I've continued to do that. And then I did another strange thing. I was 49 and I went to seminary. Some of you may have thought I was crazy. I thought I was crazy. But it felt like that's what the next step was. And doors opened for me all along the way. So I just kept walking through them. And I added lots of things into my life. But there were some things that I subtracted. And Meister Eckhart says that the spiritual life is not a process of addition but subtraction, and that is so true, because the things that I added did help, but I had to subtract some things in order to keep moving. I subtracted anxiety, I subtracted fear, I subtracted doubt. I had to do that to keep walking that walk, and God was calling me. And of course, when I felt that, I was like, no, not me. You've got the wrong person. I'm like Moses. Call my brother, Aaron. He's over here. Or there's Charles. Can't Charles do it? Or maybe one of you. I might have thrown some of you under the bus as my prayers. But here I am. For some reason, God called me. And I felt very unsuited in many, many ways. First off, have you seen me? Y'all might not have noticed, but I only have one leg. And so I thought, I can't do this. But God kept opening those doors. And then I had the autoimmune disorder, and I was like, okay, that's it. I can't do it. But God continued to open doors. And I was like, I made that prayer. I made that promise. I have to keep walking through these doors. And then George died, and I thought, surely now this is it. You don't expect me to keep doing this, do you? God kept opening doors. And I kept walking through. And even in my weakness, God used me. And what I've discovered is that God uses us in our weakness more than our strength. And so anything I've done is not because of me. It's because of God. And it's evident I can't do a lot of stuff. And Paul understands what it means for God to use our weakness. In 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, Paul says, "So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away. Our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal." So yes, my outer nature, it's certainly wasting away. It has been for quite a while, basically since I was born, but it accelerated at different times in my life. But God has continued to renew me inwardly. And it's not just the physical things that have kind of knocked me down. It was emotional things too. With George dying, which I just mentioned. But we have to keep going. God kept opening those doors. I had to keep going. So 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 9 tells us how we can keep going. "So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him." I was walking by faith. And even though I was physically away from Christ, I was not and I am not spiritually away. God has had me and been with me through all the difficult times in my life. And as I was writing this, I thought about that poem. A lot of you may have heard it before. It's Footprints in the Sand. It's about this woman or a man, but I'm going to say a woman, who's dreaming. And she and the Lord are walking together. And images from her life are flashing before her. And there are always these two sets of footprints. Except she begins to notice that at times when she's really desperate and things are bad for her, there's only one set of footprints. And that starts bothering her. Because it seems like God wasn't with her when she needed God the most. And she said, "Where were you? Why weren't you there?" And God said, "Oh, my precious one, I was there. I would never leave you in times of trouble. It's those times that I carried you." And she realized something, and I realized that there were times that God was carrying me. God carried me through difficult times in my life. And God was and is the source of my strength and my determination. But one thing we have to be aware of, and I'm living proof of that, faith in God does not make us immune to difficulties in our lives, to the things that could happen to us in this world. But what it does help us with, our faith in Christ, is to reframe those things and put Jesus at the center. And then when we do that, Jesus becomes our source of strength to get us through those hard times. And a wonderful illustration of how we can do this comes from a story that this man by the name of Parker Palmer tells. It's in his book, The Act of Life. He was going out on an outward bound course, and he was strapped into a harness. He was on the side of a cliff, 110 feet down. He was going to rappel, or at least walk down the side of this cliff. There was a 4-foot drop and then a little ledge, a 10-foot and a ledge, and the rest of it straight down. And so he had his harness on, and he was told, "You just need to lean back over the cliff and walk down." So he said, "Okay." And he tried. And he went on that 4-foot ledge. And the instructor said, "I don't think you quite have it. You're leaning too close to the rock face. You need to lean much further back so your feet will grip the wall." It went against everything in him to lean back over that cliff. But that's what he needed to do. So he tried it again. Second time, a little bit better, but he still hit that ledge, that 10-foot ledge, kind of hard. And the instructor says, "You still don't have it. Try again." So he kept trying, and he kept trying to lean back, and little by little was walking down the side of the cliff, and all of a sudden he noticed a big, big hole in the side of the cliff, and he froze. And he just stopped there. And the instructor waited, finally said, "Is there anything wrong?" And Palmer said, "I don't want to talk about it." So the instructor said, "Well, I think it's time you learn the outward bound motto." You can imagine him sitting up there, dangling from a cliff, and he's got an instructor trying to give him the motto. If I were that person, I'd be going, "Okay, I don't think this is going to help me. You're really going to tell me the motto now, or I'm just dangling here?" But that's what he did. So the outward bound motto is this: if you can't get out of it, get into it. So Parker knew that there was no way he was getting out of the situation he was in except to go further into it. He was on this rope, on this cliff. He had to keep doing it. So he leaned further back and made his way down the rest of the cliff. And just like Parker, there's no way out of the difficulties of my life. My leg, it's not growing back. My autoimmune disorder, It's with me the rest of my life. George is not coming back. So I had to step out in faith. I had to trust God, that God would be there to hold me through the bad times, and we'll continue to do that. And I knew as I started the ordination process and I took the steps necessary that I had to lean back. I had to put my foot firmly on that wall. And I had to stay connected. I had to stay connected to the rock, but lean back and trust that God was there for me, would catch me, and even hold me if I needed it. And that's what I did. I had to totally trust God. So that was a dangerous prayer. But I've been walking by faith and living that out every day. And even before I prayed that prayer and felt that stirring, God led me here. God's prevenient grace was working before me and led me to Kingswood. And this is a place I've been at since 2002. It's been a while. And this congregation and these people sitting in the pews here, all of you, have nurtured me along the way. I've watched you. You've shown me how to be people of faith. And you've held me and you've shaped me and we've shared ministry together. And it propelled me along my call. And some of you even spoke into my call and said some words that helped me understand what the next step was supposed to be. You've been showing me how to trust God. And even when God was holding me, you had my hand. And now it's time for me to leave. I will leave Kingswood, but I won't leave you. And you won't leave me. And God won't leave me. A piece of Kingswood will go with me. Kingswood DNA is in me. You're a part of me. I will forever have that. And God is doing a new thing. And we know that God does that. Because Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, 17, Paul tells us, "So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new." God is doing a new thing. He's using me and he's using all of you for us to do something new. We just need to stay connected to the source. Lean back. Trust in God. And keep our feet firmly planted on that rock and our source. And then just do the next thing. Walk through the next door. God will show you the way and will open the door. God will hold us and carry us. We just have to have the faith and trust. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your steadfast love and faithfulness. Help us as we take steps of faith to remember that we are not alone. You are with us, guiding us, directing us, and when we need it, you even carry us. Help us to have the faith we need to follow your lead, no matter where it might take us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.